Don't forget,
if you're interested in coming to an evening service, Sundays at 6, Turning Point, that's going to be Pastor Trey from Celebrate Recovery here at Faith Church. They're really great services. I enjoy them. I know you'll enjoy them. You need a little extra on Sunday evenings, you are welcome to join them. And we have flyers this morning for the Easter egg hunt. Yay! They're pretty cute. I haven't got the bigger flyers printed yet in color, but the smaller flyers are out where your bulletins are going to be located. Take some. Take some extra flyers. Pass them out to your friends, your neighbors, your family. Everybody's welcome to the Easter egg hunt, and that's going to be Saturday, March the 30th. And what do we need for the Easter egg hunt? If you're interested in volunteering, we're going to need some kitchen help. We like to offer the families that come for the Easter egg hunt, we like to offer a little luncheon for them, and it's some hot dogs, chips, and some sides. So if you could help, usually Cheryl and Glenn help with that, meaning they do it. They need some help down there. So if you would be able to come and help Cheryl and Glenn cook the hot dogs and get everything ready for the luncheon down in the kitchen, that would be wonderful. And they would certainly appreciate that. And I would appreciate that. We would appreciate that. Eggs being filled, we've got Harvest Federal Credit Union's offered to fill some eggs for us, but thank you to all those that have already filled your eggs. We've got some in the office, but we also have more to be filled. We like a lot of eggs. The kids like a lot of eggs. And we have a lot of kids, so if you could fill those eggs up, and also donations for the prizes. We do 12 special eggs for 12 special kids. If they find a golden egg, they get a prize. But also we do prizes for the bingo game, the resurrection bingo game, because we tell this true story of Easter while they eat their lunch or while they're finishing their lunch. We do the resurrection bingo game. That's a lot of fun. 10 a.m. for volunteers that want to help us hide all those eggs. 3,000. We're going to have more this year. We'll have more this year. I know we'll have more this year. I don't know that. I just know it in my heart. But if you want to help hide the eggs, hey, we need you. It's a lot of fun, but we'd appreciate that as well. And also cleanup. I know, cleanup. But with all the families that come, with all the kiddos that come, and we do need help cleaning up the downstairs and cleaning up the kitchen after we're done. So if you would be able to come for that, we would appreciate that too. They love it. We had a family, well, a couple years, say that how thankful we are the way we do it, because their kids get trampled on at the bigger hunts because there are so many, and ours. Hey, look at the blessings of being a smaller church. That's what I have to say. Don't tell me God's not at a small church, because we see it all the time, right? Amen. Yeah, so we get to interact more with the kids, and we get to do more with the kids when we have something smaller like this. Smaller as in size, not really smaller in faith at all. It's one of my favorite things. We've got some prayer concerns, requests. Pastor Jeff had a stroke Thursday morning, if you have not heard, but he has made a huge leap in recovery this morning. He's able to eat. He's able to drink. He's still not able to talk proper. Like, he's responding, though. It's not that he's not able to respond, but it's just, Tina said he responds in tongues. So, but he is aware. He's up. He's sitting up, and he's able to eat and drink on his good side. So continue to pray for his complete healing. Had a chance to pray with Tina and Pastor Jeff yesterday. And she's kind of putting in time slots for people that are wanting to read scripture to him and pray to him. And I have a copy of a prayer for healing if you would want to take it. It's not just one that you just have to say over Pastor Jeff. It's one that you could pray for anyone, you, but it's a powerful book. It's Victory in Spiritual Warfare, and it's by Dr. Tony Evans, and he uses the armor of God for each prayer, and I love it. I pray it over everything. I do. I use it for everything, but it is a powerful healing prayer, a tool. So if you would like that, I made copies of it. We're happy to see Mary this morning. She had a little episode this week, but we're thankful that she's here and that it wasn't anything horrible. But we're glad you're here. We're glad you're all here. And Candy, we're glad you're here. Look at you. Thank you for being here. Beth Pryor entered into glory on Friday morning. And I want to thank Bonnie for calling me and letting me know and also giving phone number to Chase to get a hold of me. And I did speak with him right after you called. Chase called. So Chase is her grandson. And her services would be Wednesday morning at Henderson and Venata. The viewing will be from 9 to 11. And the service will start directly after the viewing. So at 11 will be her funeral service at Henderson and Venata. Newsletters are also printed, and they're out where you can pick them up by the bulletins, along with the Easter flyer for you to take. Take five. That's your challenge this week. Take five Easter flyers and pass them out to people that you know. Post them up at businesses. Okay? Yes. Prayer requests. Bobby, stand up. We're glad you're here. Look at you. We've been praying over you. We're glad you're here. We're going to keep praying for you, Bobby. Okay. Okay. Well, we're glad you're doing good. We're glad you're here in Jesus. I know we have some unspoken prayer requests, and that's fine. We'll lift those up too. All right, let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are gathered this morning before you, expressing our gratitude for this time and this opportunity that we have to join together in worship and praise. And all that's going on, all the activities, all the stresses that surround us, we find ourselves sometimes feeling unsettled. We feel weary, confused by the challenges that we're going through, not only in our world, but in our lives. So gracious God, our church is experiencing some of these things, our church family sharing in this loss of Beth, but also in physical struggles. We place our faith in you, Father, that you are sovereign, you are over all, knowing that nothing escapes your care. And we are so grateful for that. Your word tells us that nothing can separate us from your love. Neither death, life, angels, demons, fears for today, worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from your love, and we lift up those that have been spoken this morning, and those prayers that are unspoken, those prayers that we keep inside our hearts that you know and you see, the trials and families and marriages and health and in our work. We ask that you pull us closer to you with your grace, give us peace that surpasses understanding, and breathe your fresh fragrance of life into our spirits. And as we are here in this sacred time of worship and praise, we seek your presence, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit moves within us, moves within and out of the pews, that our hearts and minds are receptive to your wisdom and grace. Help us to cast aside those distractions and give you our complete attention. Enable us to devote this time to commune with you, because you are here. Your presence is with us in our praise and in hearing your word. And bless the members of the praise band this morning as they share their gifts that you have placed in them with us. Each and every week, we thank you for the hands that have prepared this church for the work of your service. And we continue to lift up the Champions Network. We continue to lift up Celebrate Recovery and Trey and Turning Point, Lord. And we just thank you for the partnership that we have with them of building your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So we are saving souls in Christ's name. and all these things. Be with us during this time and as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to thank him for the victory, and we're going to thank him for the healing that he's already done.
Amen.
He's already done it. So when you sing these praise songs this morning, sing it like you mean it. Sing it like he's already done it, because he's going to do it, because he promises us in his word that he's going to. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death.
Oh, happy day when he washed my sickness away. Oh, happy day when he washed my addiction away. Oh, happy day when he saved our soul and washed our sins away. Amen. Amen.
You know, our God has great timing too, because, you know, today, just as we were singing this song, they sent the message of Pastor Jeff and his progress that he's made today, right at the right time. And so I sent her a picture of exactly what we were singing. Our God is greater, and he is the healer of all. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you on this early Sunday morning, and we ask for your presence here. There's a lot of prayer concerns out there today, and we know that you knew them before we even asked for them. But we also know that you are the great healer, and you are the great physician, that you are here for us when we have needs, and you hear our prayers. We are thankful for that. So we ask you to bless each one here today. Bless the gifts that were given to use in your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what's in your cup? So you're holding a cup of coffee when somebody comes along and bumps you, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill your coffee? Because somebody bumped into me, right? That's partly true. But you spilled your coffee because there was coffee in your cup. If there was tea in your cup, you'd have spilled tea. Whatever's inside your cup, that's what spills out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever's inside of you will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills over? Joy, gratitude, peace, humility, or anger, bitterness, victim mentality, and quitting tendencies? Life provides the cup. You and I choose how to fill it. Today, let's work towards filling our cups with gratitude, forgiveness, joy, words of affirmation, resilience, positivity, kindness, gentleness, and love for others. Amen? You know, the Bible does exactly that. It tells you a lot of bad stories, a lot of things that happened to a lot of people. And not always the best things came out of it, huh? But if we took time to look at the things in the Bible that you're grateful for, the words that he gives us that tells us how to act when people don't act nice to us, you'll find out what's in your cup. So how do you fill your cup with the right kind of things? Well, I say, grab your Bible, look inside of it, and see where God takes you. Because the best thing God gave us was what? His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, all of us. That's what needs to be inside our cups, so that we can tell others about him. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to do exactly that this week and through this Lenten season, to fill our cups with what we need. Amen? This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ, and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
A song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I lift it up. Fill it up with everything that you would want me to have spill over. Your goodness, your graciousness, your words. That's a good one, Paul. This morning we're going to be in the book of Mark. We're on our way to the cross. We're going to start verse 34. But before we get there, does anyone remember the cheap seats? I know it's telling my age, but do you remember the cheap seats that used to be on Mount Vernon Road? The theater, the movie theater, you know, so they showed the movie after it was released, but before it came out on VHS at Blockbuster. Yeah, that's what it was. I had my first date at the cheap seats. Batman Returns. That Seal song, Kissed by a Rose, that still gets me. But we watched a lot of movies at the cheap seats. We used to go to Odd Lots, that was right beside the cheap seats, sneak some candy in. Budget friendly than the large theater. They're not there anymore. But we have streaming. That's not cheap though. I canceled DirecTV, right? Because I'm like, oh, we could stream. I have more streaming networks now than probably when I paid for DirecTV. I don't know. I'll have to ask David. He's a big streamer though. But last week, I looked up on StubHub. The average Super Bowl ticket price, average Super Bowl ticket price, it was over $8,000 for a football game. Now, don't get me wrong, I like football. And I wouldn't mind seeing Tay-Tay up there. But gracious, $8,000. Tickets for concerts. Concert tickets. Depending on who you want to go see, I want to go see Adele. Well, I know some of you may not have heard of Adele, but oh, she's got a voice of an angel. Oh, she does. She sings to me. I love her. But I don't want to have to sell my kidney to go see her. That's $1,600 for one ticket. I want to go there with my girls. I want to experience it with somebody. They're not going to pay $1,600. I'm not either. Gracious. Cost you money just to stand out in the parking lot and try to listen to her, and you couldn't do that on Las Vegas. And then when we were going to Myrtle Beach, it was David's first trip to the ocean. Well, his first trip anywhere. He'd never been anywhere. He loved Amish country. He did. He loves Amish country. And he's so happy. He is so content. God bless his heart with Amish country. And I'm like, oh, just wait. You don't know who you married. So I'm like, okay, listen, I said, we're going on a family vacation this year, David. And he just looked at me, his eyes got real big. And I said, I know you already turned in your vacation days into work. I said, and I know we're going to have to take one of them out of school. I said, but we're doing it. You are having a family vacation experience. He's like, all right. I said, we're going to go to the beach. And his eyes gets even bigger. So I thought, why not just throw it all in? Let's go on a plane. Let's get him on a plane. We're not just going to drive to Myrtle Beach. Because I was trying to weigh my options. I'm like, we're going to have to be in the car together. It's going to be more than 8 hours because I need to stop. So I thought, okay, well, what if we fly? My gracious, we have to fly there, get four seats. Then we're going to have to rent the car. Then we're going to have to get the condo. No, it's expensive. We're going to torture ourselves. We're driving with everybody in that car. It's expensive. There aren't any more cheap seats, is there? He loved the beach, by the way. Oh, he kept on saying, if that's what you want to do. And I thought, oh. And I was praying. I'm like, Lord, sanctify this trip because I know he's the first impression kind of man. If it don't go right the first time, I'm not going to get him to be able to do it any other time. And he loved it. He kept on thanking me. He's like, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for making me go. That's what you get, men. Listen to your wife. She knows what she's doing. Got me thinking, though, about there aren't any cheap seats And we talk, you know, pricing of everything going up, and we don't have cheap seats. But also, when you think about being on a team, when you're a part of a team, and I asked Hunter if I could talk about him this morning, not like my kids, I don't have to ask permission from my children, but I did. I made sure it was all right. But Hunter, you know, it's not cheap to be on a travel baseball team, is it, Christy? It's not cheap for parents for being on a travel football team, but it's not cheap for Hunter to be on that team either. And I'm not saying he sits in the dugout either, because that boy is out there. But it's not cheap for him, you know, in his training to be on that team. The dedication, the conditioning, the practicing, even on his off time, even when he's not required to be practicing, he's still doing it. It's not cheap for Hunter to be on that team. It's paid for with time. It's paid for with energy, and it's paid for by sacrifice, both of his parents and of him. And we feel that, right, with our kids. And it's not cheap. But it's not just about sports or entertainment either. There's no cheap seats in this room either. The pews you sit in, where you're sitting, those come at a high price too. The ultimate sacrifice made by Jesus Christ. His blood shed on the cross paid the price for our redemption that we offer. The choice to be able to accept salvation came at a price. And Peter 1:18, it says, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That was the ultimate sacrifice for your seat here in this pew, was Jesus Christ. But all those Christians that came before us, you think about those first Christians that are talked about in Acts, it wasn't cheap for them to proclaim the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. It cost them, most of them, their lives. A lot of them were stoned. A lot of them were burned. A lot of them were thrown in the lion's den. It cost a lot for you to be in that seat. Jesus' sacrifice wasn't cheap. It was paid in full. His final words on the cross, it's a Greek phrase. It's tetelestai. It's one of my favorite words. If you didn't know it before, you know it now. Tetelestai. It is finished. For a sinner like me, for a sinner like you, to restore our relationship with God, a price had to be paid. Sin separates us from a holy and glorious God. We're going through that in our chronological Bible study. We are separated from God when we are in sin. And that treasonous act demands compensation. Something, someone has to pay something. And Jesus bore that full weight of God's wrath, his anger, his fury for all humanity, all humanity. That's hard for us in our human understanding to understand when we say all of humanity. That means everyone before, everyone that was present, and everybody that's going to be. All of them. He bore that on the cross. He felt it. He endured the temptations, the beatings, the spitting. And when I say temptations, you can't be tempted if there is not a want, right? Because if you don't like, for instance, Catherine loves lima beans. She loves lima beans. I do not like lima beans. You could not tempt me with lima beans, okay? But you tempt me with bread. Mom made, well, Grayson, with mom's help, made cinnamon rolls with maple icing. Homemade from scratch. And they sat on my kitchen table. And I would just take little pieces. Now you can tempt me with that. So when the Bible says that Jesus was tempted, he knows what tempted is. He's our high priest. He's went through it. He's been there. He's done that. He's got the t-shirt. So he knows what temptation is. He wasn't excluded from it. God didn't shield him from that. But the difference between you and me and Jesus was he overcame. He didn't give in to temptation. That was a sidebar. He endured the beatings, the lies, the rejection, the mockery, the torture, and the death. All this so that we might be able to be here to listen to the good news of the gospel, to listen to salvation, to see it, to experience it. It wasn't cheap, and there's not a cheap seat in the house. And as we read our scripture this morning, following Jesus, really following Jesus, isn't cheap either. If anybody told you it was, they're not telling you the right stuff. You're not listening to the right things. Because we want to hear the good. Sometimes I want to hear the blessings too. We do serve a good God. We do serve a loving, gracious God. And through Jesus, He does want to bless us. He wants to give us those things, those blessings in our lives. And it's not just material things, but that's not all there is to it. It's not cheap. Mark 8, verses 34. Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way." But I like my way. You have to give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, your own understanding, your own way of doing things, your comfort zone, you try to hang on to that, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will be saved. You will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous and sinful days, my God, if he said that then, is he talking to us now? The adulterous and sinful world, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. May God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. He calls us to deny ourselves. Take up your cross, follow him. That's a costly decision. That's not cheap. That requires sacrifice, doesn't it? That costs some humility. Two things we do not like, especially right now. Humility. When we say that Christ was a humble servant, you get this image that he was weak. We see that weakened, beaten body on the cross, and people have a bad image of humility. But what they don't understand is how much strength it took for him to be humble. He had the power of all the angels in heaven, and all he had to do was say one word, and there'd be scorched earth. You don't tell me that didn't take strength, because it would for me. More often than not, the way we want to do something isn't going to cause us to sacrifice. It isn't going to cost us to deny what we want because it's cheap. That instant gratification, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with Amazon. It's not what I'm saying here. We can't go along with something that doesn't feel right or may cause us to become more like Christ because that's too high. Now you're asking way too much. The value we put on our own self-serving way is expensive to us. The value. We put a high price on our own feelings. We put a high price on our own need. We put a high price on our own understanding of what God wants. We put a high price on our time. Time's not cheap. My time's not cheap. I got things to do, places to see. I got boxes to check off my list. I got children to direct. We put a high price on our sexual desire, don't we? Because it would cost us too much to deny it. We put a high price on our egos. Well, that really doesn't make me feel good. Sacrificing? Humility? We put a high price on who we message and who we talk to. So easy to do that on a phone. We got a high price on that. Denying ourselves isn't cheap to us, to our flesh. If it was cheap to follow Christ, to deny ourselves and pick up our cross everybody would be doing it. It'd be like the buy one, get one free, the Doritos chips. Everybody would have them. High-priced, self-seeking things in your life to what it means to surrender, to follow Jesus, to gain life. And he's not just talking about gaining life in eternity. He's talking about gaining life here on earth. It is not just about you. It's more to life than you. Surrendering to God means setting aside our own plans, embracing His, trusting. We have a trust problem sometimes. I do. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I am. Trusting His way leads to hope and a future, not just for our eternity, but for us here, where we are. GotQuestions.com says surrender is a battle term. I love that. Surrender is a battle term. You may not like the definition, though. It implies giving up all rights to the conqueror. When an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms. The winners take control from them. Surrendering to God works the same way. Who's the ultimate conqueror? Jesus Christ. Who else would be better to lay down your arms to? Lay down your life to surrender everything to? Because you know what? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet. Surrendering to God works the same way. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And surrendering to Him means that you set aside your own cheap seat plan and seek His. The good news is that God's plan for you is always going to be better than what you thought. He's always going to have the best interest for you. You're His representative. You're walking around living, breathing, walking, talking testimony to Him. Do you really think He's going to have you go around looking like chaps? No! That's not the kind of God we serve. That's not the kind of God He is. Jeremiah tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That's the conqueror that we have. Does it hurt sometimes going through this process? Yeah. He has to get rid of all the yucky stuff. He's got to get rid of all the cheap stuff because He has so much more for you. And it's not cheap. Unlike our own plans that lead us to destruction. In Proverbs, it says there's a way that appears to be right. It looks right. It seems right. But in the end, it leads to death. Surrendering our life to Christ, living a life of self-denial, let Him deny Himself. He isn't talking about learning to go without something. And maybe even many things. Learn to live without pop. Learn to live without chips. Learn to live without those maple cinnamon rolls. Not what He's talking about. He says, deny yourself. It's no longer a life about you. It's no longer about life of self. Because we're human, we are hardwired for this. We are hardwired. An author, Paul David Tripp, he wrote, "As a sinner, my whole life is inwardly focused. It's all about me. As a sinner, I push myself to the center of the world. As a sinner, I worship my own glory. As a sinner, I want to set my own rules. As a sinner, I reduce the work of the world down to what I want and what I feel and what I think I need." To deny yourself means that you no longer live at the center of it all. And some in the crowd that was with Jesus, that was too much. They left. They're like, "Deuces, I'm out." Because it wasn't cheap. That's not cheap. To come to that place where you're praying like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on His way to the cross. And He said, "God, not my will, but yours be done." That's a scary prayer. Have you ever prayed that? Where you're desperate. Where you're crying. We can't do it like Jesus did because He was sweating blood. But have you said that? "God, not my will, but yours be done." I have. I've said it. I remember the day I said it. February 3rd, 2009. I hit my feet on that floor and I said, "God, I know I'm not on your path. I know I'm not doing what you want me to do. I'm not living the way you want me to live. Do what you do. Put me on the path where you want me. Let your will be done, not mine. My God. Now, if you would look at it, you would see I lost a lot. He changed my entire life. I had to move back in with my parents. Oh, but what I gained. I saw God. I saw Him. I didn't just have to read about Him in a book. I just didn't have to read about these miraculous things that He did in other people's lives. I experienced God invading my life with His divine intervention. That's what that prayer does. Not my will, but yours be done. To say, God, I want your will for my marriage. I want your will for my life without addiction. I want your will. God, I want your will for my work. Because I can get caught up at work. Because I'm not around a bunch of Christian people when I'm at work. So let me deny myself. Let me deny, I want to go make some trouble. I want to go treat them the way they treated me. I want to go talk about their character. Because they wronged me. God, you know they wronged me. But you know what I started doing instead? The one that made trouble for me? She has a part-time job at Hobby Lobby. So I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, I want her to meet you at Hobby Lobby. She's surrounded by you in Hobby Lobby. You can't walk down an aisle and not see a scripture about Jesus at Hobby Lobby. So if she can't see you through me, I hope she sees you at Hobby Lobby. She can't miss you. But work can trip us up. Connect even when you're difficult and unworthy. He helps you. God, I want your will and my singleness. So let me deny myself. Let me deny myself of that cheap intimacy that is not of you. That cheap intimacy, you know, what, a Tinder? We got some other ones out there. They're cheap. They're free. Do you think that's what God wants for you? No. That's cheap. Living a life of self-denial means putting others first. Just as Jesus did, it means serving others when it's inconvenient, when it's difficult, just like Jesus did. That's not cheap. Taking up your cross, when Jesus says that, we look at the cross. We decorate with crosses. We wear crosses. But what it is, it's a commitment to sacrifice everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. There's that word again, sacrifice. You can't get away from it. It's about being willing to lose your life for the sake of Jesus, even if it means facing persecution or death. And we have a hard time understanding that. And we live in a hostile environment right now. Don't get me wrong. It isn't easy. It's not cheap being a Christian in this nation. It used to be everybody had the same thoughts or at least the same mindset of good and evil and, you know, what was right and what was wrong. It's my truth now. What my truth is. But this persecution and death, it happens every day. Christianity Today says 13 Christians die every day because of their faith. 13 Christians, I'm sure it's higher. We can never know for sure. But still, 13? We don't know that. It listed 50 countries in the world where it was the most dangerous to be a Christian. And what was interesting is even in those countries, where it's most dangerous to be a Christian, we're seeing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where more and more people are coming to Christ. China, where the censorship, they're rewording the Bible, where your neighbors are spying on you and will tell on you if they think you are a Christian and you're spreading the message of Jesus Christ. China, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. More and more people are turning their lives to Christ in that environment. And look at us. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been called a fake. I've been called a phony. I've been called whatever. There's no way she can be whatever because of my faith. That's not the same persecution. Africa, North Korea. North Korea is number one. There's a cost. They know exactly what this means. There's a high cost to follow him. And it's disgusting to me that sometimes the cost of my own inconvenience, my time, my energy, my understanding is too high to sacrifice to compared to what those Christians have to go through every day for their faith. Prison, torture, starvation, family being murdered. And it's hard for me to even sacrifice my time, my understanding to go dig a little bit deeper. One of the main reasons I believe that self-denial is such a challenge for us is because it's rooted in pride. Self-denial, not being able to do self-denial, is rooted in pride. While humility focuses on others, pride focuses on self. And Jesus Christ exemplified humility. He exemplified humility by serving. While Satan's downfall was pride. And Isaiah 14, 12, notice the I will statements. This is when he was talking about when Satan fell. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of dawn. Because Satan, Lucifer, was a high angel. He had a high position. He was glorious. He was beautiful. He was magnificent. He had a high position in glory. You have been cast down on the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise up my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly on the utmost heights. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. That was pride. Satan, possibly the most exalted of all the angels, adorned, possessed the unparalleled beauty of all the cherubs, of all the angels in heaven. However, he harbored discontentment with his station. It was not good enough. Rather than embracing his role, Satan aspired to dethrone God. His ambition aimed to take out the Almighty from his divine seat and assert himself as the ultimate authority. And how did that work out? We know how it worked out. I'm sure he was having a heyday on Friday when Jesus died on that cross. He thought he'd won. He thought he'd gotten the best. He thought his plan was going to be achieved. But then Sunday morning came and Christ rose up from that grave. He defeated Satan and hell, bound him. We all see throughout the New Testament of Jesus giving us an example of what it looks like to be self-denying, being a humble servant. In his interactions with everybody he met, sometimes with exceptions with the religious rulers, putting the needs of others before himself, embodying a genuine spirit of compassion and grace. Grace. Lord, how I need grace. Because sometimes it is all about me. Sometimes I want to throw a spiritual fit. And I need his grace when I come back and I have to say, I am so, so sorry. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and lose his life? There's a cost. The world's cheap. All your desires of giving up those cheap temptations. These words cut to the core, forcing us to look past our present temporal satisfaction, our cheap satisfaction, and that self-indulgence of cheap sin, self-centered living, to the eternal significance of our choices, the eternal, forever, infinite meaning, cost to your choices that you make right now. You're going to make a cheap choice. Compare that to your eternity. Because I bet it's going to cost you a lot. Is anything worth the price of your soul? God thought so. God thought that there was a price. The extreme price of his son, Jesus Christ. You are not cheap. None of you. No one out there. We are all made in the image of God. We're not cheap. And we get one shot. And C.T. Studd wrote, only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't let the cheap pleasures this world has to offer you replace the true meaning of what your life is worth. Because you were bought for the price of the blood of Jesus. He calls us to forsake our own desires when it conflicts with God's, to surrender our ambition at the feet of the Almighty. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when it comes to the glory of his Father with the angels in heaven. Would you be found if someone were to ask, whether at work, in your social groups, if they asked if you were a Christian, if they asked you believed in Jesus Christ, would you be found guilty? Would they say, oh man, Haley's praising the Lord all the time. She knows her Jesus. We come to her when we need some wisdom from God. How you treat people, would you be found guilty of being a follower of Jesus Christ? Do people know you're a Christian? Or are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed to let people know that you live a righteous life, that you're more than just the cheap seats? That's what that's asking. Are you ashamed of people to know that the reason why you are where you are is because of what Jesus did for you, how he redeemed you from your sin, how he redeemed you from your addiction, how he scooped you right up out of that pit and placed you up on a solid ground, that it wasn't because of anything you did? You know, we can talk about, oh, I had to work hard. Because I'm telling you, with my situation, there wasn't any working hard about it. I'm not ashamed to say that the reason why I am where I am, the reason why I have a home of my own, is because of Jesus Christ. Because God ran after me and chased after me, and I chased after him. And that is the only reason why I am standing here today. I am not ashamed to say that. I'll tell anybody about it. Would people say the same thing about you? That you're not ashamed to say, I am who I am. I'm not perfect. God loves me so much, he's not giving up on me. But I'm better than what I was because of Jesus Christ. There's a quote in The Chosen that I was who I was before, and I am who I am now. And what happened in between was him. What happened in between the person I was and the person that I am, he did it. Are you ashamed to say that? Because it comes at a high price. Right now, in our culture, in our world that we live in, the sinful, adulterous generation, they don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that there's rules, that there is good and evil, that there is a good and a bad choice, and it isn't just self-truth. They don't want to hear about that. It's cheap to live a life with absolutely no truth or no authority. It doesn't cost you anything in this world. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. Your life here, right now, not just in eternity, which is where we're going. And that's where we're ultimately, because we're like a vapor. Right now, the days that we're here on this earth is just like a vapor. Sometimes our days seem so long, I get it. But when we compare that to eternity, the decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ gives us life. And if you want to save your life, you need to make that decision. And you need to be unashamed of that decision. When people ask you what's going on in your life, oh, Jesus is working through me. He's changing me. It wasn't by your work. It wasn't by anything that you could do, only that you came to Jesus and you accepted that free gift of salvation. And John 10:10, the thief's purpose, Satan's purpose, the enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose, Jesus' purpose, our Savior's purpose, is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we talked about some big things this morning. You give us this book, this Bible, as instructions for our lives. And you tell us some things that it's hard for us to do sometimes. And so right now we come and we ask forgiveness. We ask forgiveness of when it is all about us, when we don't self-deny ourselves, when we don't pick up our cross. And sometimes when we're even ashamed of Jesus Christ, we repent. We ask forgiveness for those times. And I pray over everyone in this room. I pray over myself and all those watching online, Lord, that you give us the strength, that the Holy Spirit just indwells in us, strengthens us, and enables us to be humble, to live in humility, and to become a servant just like your son. And for all those that are in need to hear and accept the message of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray for them. Lord, I pray, we pray, we come together, because nothing on this earth is worth their soul. Nothing. Help us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Help us that wherever we go, we shine your glory, that the Holy Spirit just is just outpouring from us. And that when people come and we talk, that we are a living, breathing, walking testimony of your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray all of these things. Amen. Now go in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Set your mind on God's ways, not clinging to your own life, but taking up your cross and following Jesus as he promises a life that is rich, satisfying to your soul. And may the Holy Spirit make you grow strong in faith and lead you to the ways of righteousness. Amen.